If your restaurant wants to put the best on the table, look for food with a New York State certified seal. It's food that is grown right, right here. Learn more at certified.ny.gov.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, a cooking store located at 100 Frost Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Join me every Wednesday as I talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. Today is the first show of 2017. Back for another season. They let me come back and be here in the Heritage Studio behind Roberta's in Bushwick every Wednesday. And so I have a back at my sort of short format essay. So this one's called Time Traveling. I recently went through my box of receipts from 2016. Every year I say that I'm going to keep better track of my expenses and track them monthly. Invariably, the fourth quarter shows up and I'm too busy to catch up from the previous three quarters. And so here I am in January again with a box full to sort through. I realize this time that I kind of like it. I go through and I sort the tiny slips of paper, credit card receipts in one pile that I don't really look at again since they're documented elsewhere, and cash receipts in another pile to be diligently tracked to see what I spent the money on. With so many ventures in my life, I need to keep track of what comes out of my pocket. To be fair, there are far less of these than there used to be, as more often than not, I'll use a card, get some miles, cash back, or just because I don't carry cash the way I used to. I don't think any of us do. But I love the trip back through the year. Finding a gasoline receipt from Maryland. Oh yeah, that was the trip to D.C. for a wake and to see some friends. A train ticket from Japan, bought with cash. That was the Shinkansen that took me to the squid fishing adventure I had in March. Cough drops from a CVS in Manhattan. That was when I was sick in the beginning of 2016. These aren't the stories we tell at parties or the moments we want remembered in obituary. But for me, these little slips of paper are a reminder of the mundane and the day-to-day lives we lead. A funny thing my son said, or buying a book that turned out to be a favorite. As we move to a digital landscape where our memories are cataloged and stored by Google and Apple, it's nice to hold a tiny reminder and remember things for myself about the year that's passed. And with that, we're here at episode number 58 of Feast Your Ears, and I'm very happy to have with me in the studio Dan Churchill, who is a food enthusiast, author, surfer, and a lot of other things. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks for having me, mate. Yeah, I really appreciate it, and being the first one of 2017, let's start it off with a bang.
Yeah, sounds great. So, Dan, please introduce yourself and tell myself and the listeners a little bit about you. I mean, obviously, I've done a bunch of research, but they probably are guessing you're from Australia from your accent. But beyond that, they probably don't know anything. So, you know, how do you introduce yourself when somebody says, oh, who are you?
Yeah, great question. So I say Dan Churchill. I'm a chef, author, and a person who's got a master's in exercise science. So kind of, you know, to me, I cover a lot of bases when it comes to education, food. But to be honest, I'm a guy from Australia, a surfer, loved his food, and it took him to New York. That's my story.
Awesome. And so so you grew up in Sydney?
Yeah, I grew up in Sydney, a place called the Northern Beaches, which is a stretch of about 20 beaches that runs north to south, extending from a place called Palm Beach right down to Manly. And it's a beautiful place. Really, just every morning you've got sunrises and really beautiful skies. It's an amazing place and very slow compared to New York City, but I'm loving the contrast.
Yeah. It sounds like the kind of place that I wish I had been this past week. This past week in New York was like, you know, to me, having lived here for a long time, like the epitome of like the crappiness of winter. Like it snowed, it was cold, and then they salted the roads and the sidewalks were all mush. It's just dirty and gross.
It's funny you say that because someone like myself who never has experienced snow before, I'm the guy Snapchatting outside, it's snowing, everyone's inside in their PJs having soup, and I'm outside running around as if it's the first day of Christmas or something, like really exciting. Meanwhile, my friends in you know, Australia and the southern hemisphere are sending me bright sunshine hot summer days. So I loved it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the snow. Mm. I feel like that you have like a window. Like when it starts snowing, New York is beautiful and magical.
Sure.
In the middle of a snowstorm, it's kind of quiet outside. It's amazing. I mean, I love being in like, you know, the walking down the middle of a street in the at night in a snowstorm in New York is an amazing
feeling. It's gorgeous.
It's just the like 12 hours after it stops, it sort of like turns to muck and it's just kind of gross.
Well, that's when I say to people, it's perfect time for baking.
Yep.
Get your slow cooker out.
Exactly.
Look at all those recipes that you want to make out of stocks and get slow cooking happening.
Totally. So one of the things that I noticed when I looked, when I started doing some research, when I knew you were coming on the show, I looked at your website, which is, I want to make sure I get it right, danielchurchill.com.au. Everybody should take a look at that. There's lots of great information there. But I love, Dan, that you say, my mission is to make people happier and food is my tool to do that.
Yeah, it's food, as we all know, listeners, is it's an amazing thing. People, we have, you know, a few times a day where we eat for obviously we need to. But more importantly, it's probably our most exciting moments of our day, whether it be with friends, family, on our own. It's something that we get to really sit down and enjoy some tasty tastiness. But at the heart of it all, it's the one thing we all have in common. And I love that. I went to 11 countries last year for some projects, and one of them was China, where I obviously have no understanding of Mandarin, but I put a bowl of noodles and in front of a lady, and she smiled at me. And it's moments like that that you know this is how amazing food is, and I love that. And at the end of the day, I want this world to be a happier place, and food, because it is so connecting, it is so universal. That is why it is my tool, and it's tasty. So it's always going to be a win.
Take me through sort of like a normal day in the life of Dan Churchill. Like, you know, what do you, I mean, you mentioned having a master's in exercise science.
Yeah. Exercise science.
And there's a lot of information on your site about exercise and about sort of healthy living. So take me through like your normal, like regimen. What do you eat? What kind of workouts do you do?
Yeah. So if it was a structured day in New York where I haven't been traveling and all that, that's what we're going for. You know, I usually get up around, seven, and I'll usually probably have something like a half banana just to get my energy going before going for like a run. So I usually do cardio in the morning. And the run kind of just sets my day. It allows me to think, get my days and thoughts and things like that started. And that's around the East Village, maybe down the East Side River. And it's an amazing, amazing way to get going. And then through that, I'll make breakfast, and it's usually three scrambled eggs, with either avocado on a rice cracker or something like that, really tasty textural elements. Sometimes I make the black beans. I'm loving the black beans here in America. Love your work.
There's a good recipe on your site.
Thank you. Yeah.
Your eggs and black beans.
That's right. Mexican scrambled eggs. So please let me know what you think of that. Really simple, super cheap too. Didn't realize how black beans are so cheap. And then throughout that, I kind of get straight into stuck in some emails. That usually takes me through an hour and a half, 2 hours before I'll be really pushing on content. So I'll be doing some photos, working with, people I work with. So my social media girl, Caitlin, and whatnot, to dish out some really good content. Lately, it's because of a restaurant. I've been pushing all my restaurant stuff that's coming up to be in the afternoon. So whether it be working with brokers, working with my team to devise systems, things like that. Before I'll do, and my lunchtime would be just a big bowl of salad. And when I say that, it's like, you know, when you have the serving bowl, that's actually my bowl. So it's not like I'd then serve people out of that. That's my bowl, big colorful number. And then I have an espresso in the afternoon, and I'm usually hitting the gym for some high intensity resistance training, more work, more photos, more cooking, more recipe testing. And sometimes some radio stuff, a lot of TV. I'm very fortunate to be doing some TV over here, and dinner time, and I'm cooking up some sort of colorful number again, or going to some friends who are now challenging themselves to cook for me, which is really exciting.
Nice. Nice. So you've gotten people to get out of their habit of takeout, and now they're cooking for you?
Yeah, it's great. Like, let's be honest, like, there's like 62,000 restaurants in New York, so I'm all for it as well, and it gives me exciting times to experience what amazing chefs are doing in this city. But a lot of my friends here, since I've been here, really love the idea of either using my recipes, my books, to give themselves a skill that they, previously have never really touched on. And it's a great way for us all to be, together. They ask me questions and, it's an awesome thing. Like tonight I'm going to a friend's place and we've been talking about, I was literally just talking to him via text. And he's like, what am I getting for dinner? I'm like, check out page X. And he's, we're doing a green masala tonight. So, we're doing curry. We've been doing a lot of Middle Eastern. So he wants to be, and I said, let's do Indian. He's like, perfect. And I think it's a really awesome way to learn palate, learn taste. And at the end of the day, like, obviously it is a life skill. You have to look after yourself. But when people understand cooking as an art, they're surprised at how much they enjoy doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, at the Brooklyn Kitchen, teaching people to love to learn to cook and helping them with that is what we do. And it's, for me, it's something that, cooking is, it's so important to our lives. And it brings me so much happiness, right? It brings me so much joy. You feel this great sense of accomplishment. And especially people, if you've grown up and not learned how to cook, I was lucky. I learned how to cook from my parents.
Sure.
But when I went to college, I had 10 roommates. Nobody knew how to cook, right? And there were all these kids who were like, I'm going to be vegan. I'm going to do this. I was never a vegan, but I was vegan by default because I was the one that cooked.
Sure.
And I learned how to make curry and I learned how to make soup and all this stuff. And here everybody else is eating peanut butter and bread. And peanut butter has a place, right? Midnight snack, you mentioned to me.
100%.
But there's so much more fulfilling. And as the world moves to being, we are spending so much time on our phones. We spend time on our computers. People aren't, they're not coming home from work and feeling like, look at what I built. They're not furniture makers necessarily. And so you come home and you make something.
That's exactly right. And for me, I started cooking for that reason. I started cooking because when I was 12 years old, it was we used to sit down as a family with my brothers and mum and dad. We used to watch TV, one thing a week communally. And it was a cooking show, Jamie Oliver's cooking show. And we used to start, asking questions with each other and really getting involved. But then it kind of, after being, watching it weekly, we were being critical on what was going on, what the ingredients he was using in a good way. But then Dad all of a sudden started thinking, well, I can put this together and make like a timetable. And it was because we started to ask each other how our day was, what we did during the day, and we realized it was that dinner time that happened, that we really understood the power of food. So that's why I'm all, like, if people go out to a meal or they have dinner somewhere else or cook it, regardless, that's why I love food, because you actually sit down, you put your phones away and actually ask someone how their day is. And it's not like, how are you going? It's like, hey, what's going on in your life? I want to know what you did today. And it's that presence with food that is just so magical. And so as you had experienced when you're in the dorms and whatnot, yeah, you had that moment of just putting a curry on the table and eating together. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And obviously you got some high fives and brownie points from the rest of your housemates too.
And if I let them cook, I would have been eating horrible food. I mean, so it was much better that I did it. Which brings me to, your email signature contains something which I also really like, which says rule number one, it must be delicious.
That's correct.
And I think that is a really great place to start from, rather than starting from whether it needs to fuel your body or any of these other things. Like, it has to taste good, and it can taste good and do all these other things, right?
Correct. Like, I feel, working in the health area as prominently food, but working in the health area as well, I really realized that people perceive food as this boring nature, this thing that they eat for fuel. And that is the one thing that I really, I can't be against. I think food is such an enlightening part of our day. I'd never want people to look at it with displeasure. It is pleasurable, so I don't want that to ever be the case. And I'm partly Italian. Like, I say I'm fully Italian. I've got like a minor part. I'm talking, if there was a drop of blood, that would be how much Italian I have in me, but I feel spiritually Italian. And, they obviously know their food, and they don't eat to live. They live to eat. And I never want people to feel that they're fueling their body with food. I want the food to be enlightening them. So hence why whenever I talk about health, healthy food, it must be delicious, because there's obviously the other aspects of health which become hormonal. So you actually release serotonin and endorphins when you're actually eating. So it's actually an exciting part, but also those things are very beneficial for you. And if you look at something that's boring, like a plastic piece of chicken that is terrible and it doesn't give you those endorphins, then it's not healthy. So right. It's actually true.
Sure. Or you grab a hamburger on the go and eat it while you're walking down the street, or eat it in your car in the parking lot.
Right.
It doesn't do those things for you.
It doesn't do those things. Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about why you've chosen on your site to make the dollars so sort of important in terms of how you frame your recipes. You had a post around the holidays that was a 10-person feast for under $20. And then in a lot of your recipes, including the black bean Mexican breakfast one you were talking about, you talk about what the cost is approximately.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear about sort of where that idea came from and why you do it.
Well, it's extended from the fact that being 27, you're still in a younger age, and got a lot of young friends. And one of my first books was built around getting people to cook real basic things. But a lot of my followers and a lot of my friends, they really want to know how to cook, but on a budget. And I'm realizing that, you know, cost of living is obviously, it's going up, but also I'm getting a lot of questions on, hey, Dan, I want to start cooking, but I don't want to cook with, I don't want to break my bank. So by devising a way to create cost-effective foods and make them obviously still tasty, but really simple, I'm finding that people are actually going out and buying these ingredients, actually fulfilling and doing it. So, and by putting a price up there, I feel that it allows people to make the decision, oh, that's not this week, or maybe today, oh, that's great, that's perfect, I know how much I'm going to be spending. And it's a really good way to understand how to look after yourself. So, you know, if I put a $5 meal up there, it's going to serve 3 people versus them going out to dinner and spending $20 each. You know,
before drinks,
exactly. It's not cheap. So by doing it and doing it at home, it's also a way of people saying, wow, I can really save money. I can make a tasty meal. It can be healthy, and it's obviously going to be delicious. And I make a life skill of myself. This is something I can do on a regular basis. And once you make that connection, people go, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. So,
and then I also think that, you know, we are, in my opinion, and I'm not an economist, but, you know, I think we're headed for, some kind of an economic downturn. We've been, you know, cyclically, these things happen every 8 to 10 years. We're heading into it. I personally don't think that the president-elect is going to do good things for the economy, particularly. New York's always kind of a bubble. But one of the things I remember from 2008 in New York City is that, you know, we had lots of people coming to the Brooklyn Kitchen who wanted to learn how to cook because they wanted to save money.
Sure.
Because in New York, you know, we're all out and about all the time. And if you're eating dinner out 6-7 times a week, a great way to save money is to suddenly cook at home 3 or 4 nights a week. But people needed the skills to do that. And I think the framing of your recipes is a really good way for people to come to understand that, you know, instead of grabbing a bacon, egg, and cheese on the way to the train for $4, for $2.50, they can make your breakfast and eat it at home and save the money and be healthier.
Yeah, exactly. And learn how to do it in bulk. So, you know, and save the time. I think one of the things as well was, since we're doing some stuff on the Chew, like we realized that Americans and actually the world in general, what they're after is 3 things. They want it quick, they want it healthy, and they want it cost effective. So if we can put those 3 things together and, reach as many homes as possible, then we're winning. And you can look at your overall spending throughout the week and reduce it to like 20% of what it already is.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to take a quick station break here and hear from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I want to hear about your restaurant, and I also want to get some tips for how to better frame your sort of workouts.
Sure.
Chefs and restaurants are proud of the food they put on the table, and serving produce that comes from local, environmentally responsible farms is a way to leave an even better taste in everyone's mouth. So when shopping for your ingredients, look for the New York State Grown and Certified Seal. It lets you know which food is grown right here in New York State, certifying the food that comes from local farms that meet a higher standard. You'll not only be serving local food, you'll be supporting local farmers. Learn more about the New York State Grown and Certified program at certified.ny.gov.
Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen. And in the studio today, if you're just joining us, I have Dan Churchill. And before the break, we were talking about food and economy and how you can make much better meals at home. Or not necessarily better, but you can stay on a budget and make really great healthy meals at home. And Dan, I want to hear about your restaurant. So you have a restaurant project in the world. You've written three books, is that right?
Very fortunate to have written three books. I got a restaurant coming out, and I'm very excited to actually have people tasting my food. They've seen it all on TV, they've seen it in my books, they've seen it on my blog, and now they want to eat it. So I'm looking forward to that happening in New York.
Cool. And so tell me the framework. What kind of restaurant is it going to be? Is it going to be breakfast, lunch, dinner, open all day?
Sure. It's a fast casual QSR concept, so it's scalable. So hopefully we are going around the rest of America too. Effectively, it's displaying healthy, colorful meals, very quick and efficient, with a third wave coffee element. So by means of those big bowls I was telling you about, those big salad bowls and colorful, built around spreads. So we've got the avocado smashes, which you have on open face sandwiches or open face spreads, and then I'll be doing
created,
that
created as I understand it Australia
correct
was the originator patient zero, if you will, of the avocado toast.
We don't claim a lot, but I think I'll put my flag in this one. We saw the Kiwis, but we'll always claim it over the Kiwis. So we've got those kind of things coming out, but it's a model that's ideal for really quick, efficient, but a lifestyle trend, a lifestyle brand in itself. So obviously there's a product there for you to enjoy, but there's also more in terms of, you know, we're going to be doing festivals and things like that to be part of. So we're really creating a lifestyle brand here.
And approximately when do you have when can people find and taste this food?
It's going to be around April. We're looking at two locations right now, about to sign the leases on, and it's a very quick build. So very excited by it. So
it's, and what's it going to be called?
It's called Charlie Street.
All right.
Yeah, no one's heard that. You heard it first here in the radio session right now.
Scoop.
The Scoop. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
And what does the name come from?
It's funny. So, Charlie Strite was the name of a man who invented the toaster. I think he's from Alabama, I believe. So we are considering how, avocado toast and the relationship between that and Australia, we decided to call it Charlie's Street because street is a very much a Australian way of naming a restaurant. By having Charlie's Street as the name, you obviously have it relates to the story and you know, something very close to home too.
I had a family friend when I was growing up who called himself Mr. Toaster, who was like a world-renowned toaster collector.
Wow.
He had, a couple thousand toasters or something like that. So
maybe we should change the name. Yeah. Or, I'm sure he's got his name patented somewhere or something as well. That's crazy.
I forget his actual name, but we always knew him as Mr. Toaster.
Has he ever gone on Hoarders, that Hoarder show?
To be honest, I'll have to check with my dad. He may not even be alive anymore.
I don't know.
I mean, this was, this is going back like 25 almost 30 years.
Well, so. he's been the, if he's not here, bless him, and his toasters will remain with serious memories.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about the gym, right? It's the time of resolutions,
correct,
right? The most popular resolutions are that people want to eat healthy.
We say this
stop
as
drinking.
We look at amazing Roberta pizzas outside. Yes, 100%.
And beer, I think, right? Yeah. The guy's got a beer on the table,
too. He's looking good. Yeah. He's probably going to get it through second as well.
Power lunch.
It's power lunch, exactly.
But, lots of people resolve every year to go to the gym, to lose a few pounds, to eat healthier. Going to the gym is something that I love. I mean, I love working out, but I have a hard time fitting it into my life. Between work, I have two children, it's a lot. And the thing about the gym that's always been true, and is true for everybody, it has to be convenient, right? So if you're going to go to the gym, it's got to be convenient. I had a wonderful gym that I loved, that had really great classes, that had good machines, that was convenient for a long time. given the way that Brooklyn changes, that building has been torn down to build a condo. So I lost my gym that was most convenient. You have a post up about three exercises that are really great that can be done in a small space. I don't know. Is there enough room in the studio?
100%. I could do it right now if you wanted to.
Well, why don't I do it?
Okay. All right.
I mean, why don't I, like, I'll do it. You can talk about the about what it is, and I'll try it out and see what we think. So
All right,
so you talk, and I'm going to move away from the mic.
Okay. So Harry... You want me to explain the situation as well?
Yeah,
listeners?
Tell me what to do.
This is great. Wow. Okay, so...
Nobody can see this, so that's...
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll have to describe it. Harry, if you can get into a push-up position for me.
All right.
Okay, then what you can do is one push-up, and you're going to bring your right knee to your right elbow and do another push-up.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct. I'll put it back down. So put it... He just did a try push-up. So then do another push-up and do exactly the same thing with your left. So
He looks like he's kind of struggling
Well. No, he's doing well. Performs great. And then put it back. That's it. So go back to your push-up.
Okay.
Okay. And go again. So push-up. Okay. Right knee to left elbow.
Haven't been in a long time.
Okay. Then put it back down. That's it. Push-up. Repeat the other side.
Got it.
Okay. And then repeat again. So then you go push-up, then right to right. So what we're doing here is we're really working on, first off, your muscular endurance. A push-up is one of the best things you can do for you. It incorporates a lot of your core and really helps with your posture too. So how are you feeling there, Harry?
Feeling good. Heart's
feeling
pumping.
Good. Heart's, yes.
Lungs are moving.
We have the sound effects too. So because you're using a lot of muscle groups, that's where your heart elevates because it has to look after not just one major muscle group at all of them. So your next exercise, this is one of my favorites.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to do a squat for me. So into a squat stance. He's wearing jeans, by the way, so I commend them. Okay, so stand up. Okay, you're going to go. This time, what I want you to do is as you squat, you're going to go down into a push-up position. So squat.
Okay. So
and then
squat
come.
Thrust,
yeah, right? Yeah, and then come out. That's it. Now put you bring your feet back in. Okay, and stand and repeat.
Got it.
Cool. So what we're doing here is we're going from a squat position using your major legs and then going back up, work on your posture. And because what you can do to make it even more hectic is in stand, now jump. Okay, squat down. That's it. Now do a push up. Okay, stand and jump. Awesome. Can you do about 10 of them?
No, I think I won't get through the rest of the interview if I do. But...
Sure.
And
sure.
The third one, right?
And exactly. In the third one, this is where you go onto your back for me. Maybe hard in jeans. Okay. Okay. So what you're going to do is have your hands over your head.
Okay.
Lift your feet off the ground.
Yep.
Cool. Now what I want you to do is a roll forward and then stand.
Oh, all the way forward?
Yeah.
That I can't do in jeans. But I get it.
Yeah. So you roll forward. Exactly.
Forward and then.
Stand up. Then you jump again and then back down and roll.
Okay.
So he's done an amazing job. So the three exercises on the blog, guys. So danielchurchill.com.au. Very well. Let's give a round of applause. Well done. The idea behind it is, obviously, convenience is huge. And I think the biggest thing comes from, he's still puffing. He's done a very good job.
I haven't been to the gym in a while. It's been a rough fourth quarter.
Well, it's a good time to start, though, isn't it? I always say motivation has to come from within. So that's the first thing we talk about anything health related. And that what I mean by that is if I tell you you have to go to the gym, then it's not going to happen. It's from you going, okay, I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to go do some exercise, or I'm going to do this. So that's the first thing, and you got to work out what is it that makes you tick. But if you don't have a gym or anything nearby, the idea is to have a few exercises that will start your metabolism, start using your major muscle groups. And you saw that just then, you're puffing.
Like, oh, yeah.
So by using more muscles, your body has to recover by taking on oxygen, and that's how we get that's a puffing effect.
Right.
That's where your metabolism increases using more muscles than by just doing an arm curl. I mean, you don't get puffed.
I'm not going to get ripped.
Exactly.
It, but that's okay.
Exactly.
So one of the things for me, you talk about time, right? And I talked about convenience, and it is about finding time. Mm. I find often in the past, it had always been about what can I trade? So do I give up my morning meeting in order to make time? Do I leave work a little early in order to make time? Do I go out in the evening? For me, mornings are best for working out. And so what I'm going to recommend, you can hear I'm out of breath. For me, one of the things that I've found is that it's true for other things as well, not just working out. So I'm about to finish a book about vinegar called Vinegar Revival.
Congratulations. Thank you. Do we have a name?
Vinegar Revival.
It is Vinegar Revival. Yep. Awesome. Amazing.
Comes out in August of this year.
Just for those who are playing at home?
Yep. So in order to write that book, I found the easiest thing for me was just to get up really early.
Cool.
So what I would recommend to anybody, and what I will probably try and do now that I know these great exercises, I don't know if I can jump in my apartment and might wake up my kids, sure. but figure out a way to do some of these things. Even if it's getting up 15 minutes early, it's not as hard as you think.
Exactly.
So if you normally get up at 7, you can get out of bed at 6:30. It's not that hard. And what I found with it is that having that time, especially if you live in a hectic environment, family, children, pets, being able to have like half an hour to yourself in the quiet in the morning is excellent. It's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, yeah. I think when it comes to these kind of things, these decisions, you got to find out what works for you. So there's no good me saying, okay, at 6:30, you're going to do this when maybe at 6:30, you're breastfeeding, for example. Right. You know, you got to find out what works for you. And for me, I spoke earlier, like I sometimes majority of the time do two sessions a day. One's cardio, one's high intensity resistance. Like I'm got an online program coming out. So I want to make sure I look up to scratch.
Right.
But at the same time, I schedule in my time. So if I have, it's like having a meeting. If I,
yeah.
I'm working out at 7 till 7:45 for a run. I know between 7:15, I'm unreachable because I'm doing a workout. So that means I block those times out. That's what works for me. And so that's, I started by doing that. Some people just like to write down an exercise plan and going, okay, I know I'm going to do this workout, but I'll have to find 1 hour of the day to do it. If I haven't done it yet and it hits 7 p.m., I'm still going to the gym.
Sure.
That works.
I
mean,
I see people out running at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, by the time I get to that point in the day, I'm fried. I can't even imagine like going for a run at 10 p.m.
It's ridiculous.
It works for some people.
Yeah, right.
So we're nearing the end here, Dan, but I want to make sure. So you have a restaurant coming up.
Awesome.
I know you've done a bunch of appearances on The Chew. Mm-hmm. And if you end Good Morning America.
Good Morning America, yeah.
Do you have any appearances coming up? Any other things you want to mention?
Yeah, there's things coming out on Food Network. So keep updated with that. You obviously check my social media, Dan_Churchill for Instagram, danielchurchill.com.au for my website and more information on blogs and whatnot. But I have an online program coming out, which incorporates health, but also recipes. So you're going to be getting a video recipe every single day with two accompanying still shot recipes and a workout video. And so whether or not you want to do both, whether you just want to learn how to cook simple food efficiently and cost effectively, that's going to be coming right to your doorstep every single day. So stay tuned for more on that, and I'm looking forward to getting the response from you amazing listeners.
Awesome. Well, that finishes up our episode today, but thank you, Dan, for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, and thank you for listening today. Big thank you to Kristen Baylor, who's my producer, and David Tatasciore for engineering this show. You can find Feast Your Ears, as well as lots of other great shows, at heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes or Stitcher. And please take a moment to like the show, wherever you listen, if you do in fact like it. And if you have any questions, you can reach me via email, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com. And you can follow me on social media, @thefoodballer. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.